Well, what can I say? I like when I'm right.
If was written and directed by John Krasinski and stars Kaylee Fleming, Ryan Reynolds, Steve Carell, John Krasinski, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Fiona Shaw, and on and on, with an insane voice cast of performers playing these ifs. A girl discovers she can see everyone's imaginary friends and embarks on a magical adventure to reconnect forgotten ifs with their kids. Hey everybody, welcome back to Movie Morning. Today I'm going to be reviewing John Krasinski's latest film, If, as I've already said like three or four times, but here we are again. If is a movie that I felt like I was the only person looking forward to it. I had this in my most anticipated movies of the year, very high. Then once the trailers came out, I did, rein in my expectations a bit. I slowly realized this movie probably wasn't going to be as far up my alley as I was hoping. It seemed maybe a little too cutesy. But I was still excited for it, and it made my top 10 most anticipated movies of the summer. Just barely, but it did anyways. And I love Ryan Reynolds, of course. I loved A Quiet Place Part 1 and A Quiet Place Part 2. And If still seemed like a movie that would appeal to the types of emotions and human stories that I like in family films like this. And that's really what got me excited. I think Ryan Reynolds described this movie as a live-action Pixar movie, and I heard that description and I went, yes, that's exactly what I was hoping for when it comes to this movie. And after doing A Quiet Place, John Krasinski could have done literally anything because those movies were two movies that were both some of the best movies of the years that came out. Maybe not the best, but two of the best. And he probably could have gone to any studio and wanted to do anything, and almost anything they would have let him do. If he wanted to make a comic movie, he could probably do that. If he wanted to make an action movie, another horror film in particular. But instead, he wanted to make a movie for his kids because his first two movies definitely were not bad, and wanted to make a love letter to them, make a movie that really would be a movie that they would love. And I love the idea of him trying and to take such a radical departure from what he did with A Quiet Place and not just relying on that one genre that did him very well for those two films. So, does If feel like a step up in John Krasinski's career? Does it show that he is a very talented and very ranged filmmaker? Or is this a bit of an underwhelming studio family film in the vein of so much of what we get now inside of this particular corner of studio films, which is family films? Because we don't get many live action family films anymore. Well, you can find out in this review. And here's the thing about this movie. When I saw the first reactions and saw this at like a 53% on Rotten Tomatoes or whatever it is at now, maybe even lower, might be below the 50s now. And some of the bigger first reactions and kind of getting cooled down, I found that a little baffling because I was honestly expecting this movie to come out and shock everybody in terms of how emotional it was, how much it had to say, and also how fun it was, because I just really felt John Krasinski would deliver that after his two A Quiet Place movies, and just the vibe of it had kind of the feels of a movie I would really enjoy. And now, having seen the movie, I am really baffled by the reactions to it, and I've been reading more and more reviews, and as more and more have come in, I've been sitting here very confused because it doesn't seem at all like the movie I watch, and it's not a reaction that I feel like this movie could elicit in any way. Because at the end of the day, is If a perfect movie? Absolutely not. It is a very flawed movie, and we'll get into all that a little later. But not many times this year have I felt as much leaving the theater as with this film. This film was charming, it was sweet, it was funny, and it really does feel like an audience movie. And I'm recording this right after seeing the CinemaScore come out with an A, and I think that makes way more sense to me than the critic score, because, well, I'm not saying the movie's that an A-level movie, not at all, but it is a film that I think is just gonna really tug at people's heartstrings, but also just try to elicit joy and fun. And I feel like that's all the movies like this really need to do. And I don't think it's quite earned the very like mixed reviews it's getting. I don't understand what people were really expecting, and more what they really wanted with the type of movie this is. And I'm not trying to put this down for being a kids movie. I'm just saying that I feel like for its target audience and what it was trying to do, and even for adults, I feel like this movie still gives you a lot to really enjoy. And I'm gonna get into why I personally had a lot of fun with it, despite all its problems, right now. And this isn't what I thought I was going to start with this review with when I saw the movie. I thought, oh, I'd probably be, you know, complimenting John Krasinski's direction, Ryan Reynolds, the Steve Carell is the voice of Blue. But funnily enough, I think Kaylee Fleming, who is the lead of this movie as B, Ryan Reynolds is almost a co-lead, but he definitely is not the main lead in this movie. Kaylee Fleming, who plays B, who is the main 12-year-old in this film, who is the lead character. She, you know, is what this whole story goes around. She is the person who can see all these imaginary friends. She really does carry this movie, and she really makes this movie consistently endearing, consistently enjoyable, and a movie that is very fun to follow, a plot that's very fun to follow because you're constantly following her. She's just likable, charming, and she knows how to really draw your attention in terms of even when she's in scenes by herself, what she's doing and the way she's reacting to certain things. You really get endeared to her very quickly. And I think she was so much fun in here. And she has terrific chemistry with Ryan Reynolds, who, of course, is the next person on the call sheet or in the next build actor in this movie. Because his character, there are some mysteries with him. I felt like the reveals and eventual plot twists with him were pretty obvious. But he does have a meatier role in this movie than I was expecting. I thought he would just kind of be the funny guy, like Ryan Reynolds is a lot of the time. But I actually think Ryan Reynolds excels maybe the most in a role like this, when he's not necessarily the lead character, but he is one of the leads, and he's allowed to be a little more restrained. I feel like the over-the-top, rated-R, vulgar Ryan Reynolds has become maybe a little overplayed, but I think kind of the family-centric, free guy, Adam Project Ryan Reynolds is actually where I think he might work the best for me. Like, obviously, I love him as Deadpool, and I'm so excited to see Deadpool and Wolverine. But I love Ryan Reynolds in kind of these heartfelt roles like this. And I love the way he plays this character named, what's the character's name? Cal. And I think that what he does so well with this role is that he isn't always cracking jokes the entire time. And obviously he's written to be this way, but I think John Krasinski picked him because he's able to capture this kind of man-child energy while still having a seriousness to him. He's able to play this character in a way that's, you can kind of tell he's definitely jaded, but you can't quite get why, and you don't really get the answer to that until almost the end of the movie. And I think once you find that out, it really makes his performance better when you're looking back at it. And I really loved his character in here. And again, I think him and Kaylee Fleming had terrific chemistry, and they really do carry this movie when, you know, it might not be a movie that is working as much for, say, adults, or maybe a movie that is moving a little too slow for kids at times. And some of the imaginary friends are fun. I'll get into a few more of them a bit later. But the highlights, of course, Steve Carell as Blue, who is super entertaining, very cute character. And I'm someone who gets very annoyed by the insert cute character in kids movie trend. But he is a genuinely fun creature. And I love what they do with him in this movie. And kind of his little subplot was one of the most moving parts of this movie, if you ask me. And I really enjoyed him. And I will say, I thought this movie was surprisingly funny. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I laughed more in this movie than I have in any movie in the past 10 years or anything. But this is the kind of movie where there's a lot of jokes. A lot of them are aimed at very young audiences. But it's the kind of jokes that do make you grin or make you chuckle a little bit. You're not going to be laughing out loud at any points. But I think consistently there's a certain amount of levity. There's almost like a minute where there's a pretty good rate in terms of how much of the humor is being delivered and how much of it landed for me. Again, I don't think any of it really made me laugh, but it did get a smile out of me. And I think for a movie that's aimed for a younger audience, if you're able to do that, I think that's pretty impressive. And again, this movie is definitely geared towards kids, but I do think the humor is able to balance being not annoying and like definitely going to make a lot of kids fall on the floor. And I think it's really great that it found that balance. I think John Krasinski, writing wise, was able to balance the tone here really well. And speaking of the tone, and by the way, a lot of the jokes in here, one in particular involving an if named Keith, is probably one of the best running gags I've seen in a movie in a while, and especially the way it pays off towards the end of this movie, just so worth the wait. But anyway, speaking of the tone, I love the mix between this kind of early Amblin feel to a movie, and then also like what Ryan Reynolds said, which is a live-action Pixar movie, and this movie definitely has that feel. This kind of has that movie magic quality to it that a lot of Spielberg's early films in particular did in the 20th century. And movies like E.T., for example, this movie is nothing like E.T., But John Krasinski said before that when he was making A Quiet Place, he was trying to make this generation's Jaws. If almost feels like this generation's E.T., but like A Quiet Place, which was nothing like Jaws, If is nothing like E.T., it just kind of has a family tone to it, and the types of messages it's trying to tell that reminded me of that. It also doesn't help that Janusz Kaminski, who has shot all of Spielberg's films for like the past couple of decades, also worked on this, and I'll talk about that a bit more later. But this movie is simple, it's straightforward, it's charming, and it's a bunch of just innocent and endearing fun. And I think if you're able to get over the fact that it is very cutesy, it's playing it very schmaltzy a lot of the time, I think it's hard not to smile watching this very, again, imaginative and wonderful movie, and with what it's trying to do with these charming characters. And again, the movie magic on display here, I just think is so entertaining to watch. But at the same time, like I described this to, compared this to a Pixar movie, this does have some of those deeper themes and adult messages that really do underpin the story, like a lot of the best Pixar films do. Does this movie live up to the best Pixar films like WALL-E, Inside Out, Toy Story? No, this movie I don't think reaches anywhere near those heights. But it does kind of try to balance entertaining kids, but also leaving adults, leaving the theater feeling something in the same way. And I just love that kind of tone for a kid's film. And I think this movie does that pretty well. And speaking on that, I love what Krasinski was trying to explore in terms of the messages here. Because this movie really is about the importance of our inner child, but at the same time, its importance no matter how old we are. And at the same time, trying to grab a hold of and staying true to what we love or what comforts us. And at the same time, our imagination. And I just love John Krasinski that after doing A Quiet Place, again, such a radically dark, serious thriller, decides to go completely to a different direction and just want to make you smile and have fun and kind of let you reminisce on your favorite childhood memories or whatever it is that this movie might draw out of you. And I think that message is not only going to be one that kids will understand, but maybe not quite resonate with, but it's going to be one that, again, adults and maybe older teenagers like myself really do connect with. And I really was not expecting to be as moved as I was in a few moments in this film. Now, did this movie go as far as to make me cry or anything? I wouldn't really say it went that far, but it did get me on the verge of doing so at least a couple of times. And it really penetrated some of my weak spots in terms of stuff in movies that definitely can, hit me in the feels a lot, but not in a way that felt emotionally manipulative. I do think this movie has this balance where it's trying to be a family drama, which of course is always going to get me in at the same time. It adds that onto a couple of very human stories I didn't expect, that even involving it with the character of Blue and kind of what he goes on, the journey he goes on, the way it pays off. That ends in a very tear-jerking-esque scene that really, really got me. But a lot of the emotions for me hit really hard. I think I love, again, the messages Krasinski was trying to explore here. And like I mentioned, longtime Spielberg collaborator Janusz Kaminski, who shoots, again, almost all of Spielberg's movies even now, absolutely cooked when it comes to the cinematography here, because this movie looks gorgeous. Not only are the live-action shots very well-lit, like all of Spielberg's movies, it has that very elevated film look to it where all of the lighting is so memorable. It has this such warm feel to it, like, again, a movie like E.T., or even modern Spielberg movies like The Fablemans. But at the same time, it mixes so well with the CG creatures. Now, is this the best CGI in the world? No, they are clearly very cartoonish, but it's 100% a stylistic choice that creates for such beautiful scenes in terms of how they look. Everything is so colorful, everything is dazzling to watch, and it has this incredible blend of, again, live action and then these 3D cartoon characters that look so, they just look like characters that you just want to have fun and play around with. And I think they capture that really well. They just have this very, again, imaginary like quality to them, and they almost feel like they don't even exist in these scenes. They almost feel like they're on a different plane to our live-action characters, but in a way that makes 100% sense and makes the movie, I think, more fun than it already is. And I think adding on top of that kind of whimsical feel this movie has is Michael Giacchino's score, who a lot of people think is one of the greatest composers of our time. I don't know if I would go that far personally, but I did really like the score here. And I do think a couple of times he used a few of those very cliche kind of Hollywood-y melancholic notes to really try to manipulate you into feeling something. Maybe a little too often when I think a lot of the performances and the writing already did that. But I do think his score, when it's trying to get recapture that early John Williams feel, works really well in a lot of the more fantastical and fun sequences here. And to close out my thought on the positive end, I just really appreciated that Krasinski tried to make a movie that would appeal to his kids, but a live-action family film that still also had more to say about, again, our inner child, about our imagination, and at the same time, again, like I mentioned earlier, holding on to the things that really comforted us since we were younger and why they're so important. And I, again, was charmed. I felt so much in this movie. I laughed a lot. Again, almost got me to cry at times. And unlike the endless void of mediocre sequels that have come out this year, like Godzilla X Kong, that was just not a good movie. It was a lackluster sequel. Movies like Kung Fu Panda 4, even within this kind of same age demographic that IF is aiming towards, and lazy remakes like Roadhouse. IF is a movie that, firstly, is an original IP, but also that, at the end of the day, actually left a mark, even if, again, it's a flawed movie, and I will get into that in just a couple of seconds. And I personally will take a movie like this over the few I just mentioned that have just come and gone, and no one's talked about them since they've released, any day of the week. And I really appreciated, again, the approach John Krasinski took to telling the story, even if sometimes it gets out of his reach. And speaking of that, overall, I just wish that the story itself had as much imagination as the creature design and the imaginary friend characters did. Because the story itself is very paint by numbers. It is pretty generic. It's pretty forgettable. Again, like I did enjoy this movie, but I almost don't even remember what the main plot for most of it was. I just remember individual moments I really enjoyed and a few of the emotional beats that really hit for me. But it's, again, the plot itself and what connects a lot of these fun and emotional sequences do feel very forgettable. And it is, again, being the kind of movie it is very predictable. There's a couple twists towards the end, which you're going to see coming from, like, the opening few frames. But I felt like I almost knew most of them from the trailers, and even then, I don't think it affected how much I was having fun and, you know, enjoying a lot of this movie. And again, it's definitely a very cutesy, kid-aimed movie, but I don't think it being predictable should, you know, affect your experience if you're just having fun. And I do think this movie is able to do that, even if it, again, you know where most of the plot is going. And like I always say with movies, it's not so much the destination, it's more so the journey. And I do think, again, this whole idea that, you know, knowing this one spoiler is going to ruin the movie is completely ridiculous. I understand wanting to be surprised watching movies, but not every movie really leans on those surprises to fully work, and IF certainly isn't one of them. The biggest issue with this movie for me was its really odd structure and pacing. This film, while, again, is more aimed towards kids than adults, I think moves a little too slow for kids. And this movie is, I believe, like 95 minutes long if you take away the credits. But it does feel like a two-hour movie in the sense that it moves pretty slow. Again, the plot is very thin and it is constantly shifting. Like, there's this very weird start and stop momentum with the way the story works where we have a kind of a plot for 20 minutes, then we're going to have a new plot for the next 20 minutes, and then we're going to kind of wrap things up nicely, then move on to the next one because that didn't work. And because of that, the story kind of morphs itself and reworks itself, I would say at least a good 3 or 4 times. And it really hurts the flow of this movie. And again, I personally liked spending time in this world, but it does mean that the movie doesn't quite have as much urgency as a lot of the characters are making it out like there is. And while I thought the movie did get more interesting as it went along, the end result feels a little all over the place and messy, and I think that's where a lot of the negative reviews come in. It's that this movie never really quite sticks to one direction, and because of that, a lot of it does feel underdeveloped. I don't think a lot of the plot directions really mean enough to really stick, and there's one particular bit in this movie where a lot of our main characters, Ryan Reynolds' character Cal and B are trying to find new kids for these imaginary friends. And everything feels so superfluous that you just know within a couple of minutes something's going to go wrong and they're going to have to try and do something else. And sure enough, that's exactly what happens, because everything feels kind of insignificant because of how many times the story changes what's actually going on. And I think an extension of that is this movie, I think, is trying to do a little too much, if anything. It's trying to balance all these different genres. It's trying to balance these different target audiences. It wants to please, again, teenagers, older teenagers like myself, and adults who are going there for whatever John Krasinski want to reveal about us. And, you know, I love what he explores in this movie. But at the same time, it does need to constantly throw in humor and some very, again, lowbrow humor that I didn't think was too egregious, but there is a lot of it. And because of that, extra time is wasted in these very kind of non-plot-oriented, random humor scenes that are, again, very prominent in modern kids' movies. And, like, the family drama element, for example, bookends the movie terrifically in the first act and third act, but it is pretty much absent from a very whimsy-filled and kind of, again, loose second act that isn't really focused as much on the emotions of the story. Like, for example, Blue's story and kind of what he's going through in terms of him, you know, and whichever kid he was with when he was younger, I thought it worked terrifically in the movie. And again, it ends really well, and the way that story was told was super efficient, because we didn't need that many scenes to love Blue as a character and then get wrapped up in what happened to him and in terms of what's, you know, the payoff of what goes on in his storyline. But at the same time, some other aspects in this movie that have way more time devoted to them don't land quite as well as that part of the story. And then it comes down to, again, Krasinski struggling to balance everything he wants to do in this movie. And that's, like, entertaining kids, you know, let the audience feel something, and then tell the story of childhood wonder and all that. And there is maybe one too many ideas, one too many things he's trying to do, that a lot of it does feel underdeveloped. And I completely understand that criticism here. And the last thing I'll say is I do think the ifs themselves are pretty forgettable, and it's kind of weird because this movie, again, is titled IF, which stands for Imaginary Friends, but most of them lack pretty much any depth. Like, they don't have any depth. There's nothing to them except, wow, look who amazing A-list voice cast or A-list actor I love is in this movie. Like Bradley Cooper, who has like 3 lines in this movie, and why he's in this, I have no idea. This movie has an all-star celebrity voice cast filled with people like Sam Rockwell, Phoebe Waller-Bridge. And if anything, you're just going to have fun guessing who's playing these characters. But there was pretty much no reason for most of these guys to be there. Like, they mostly do nothing. And they, again, most of them have, like, less than 5 lines. And it just feels like, what was the point of casting all these big names if they were going to have no roles in this movie and were going to play such forgettable characters? And other than Blue, I don't really know if I remember any one of the IF's names, which is not great because the movie is titled IF. And I think some in particular, like the one that Phoebe Waller-Bridge plays, I like the idea of her character a lot. I think she could have been a great character that stood alongside a character like Blue, but she just isn't given much development beyond, you know, her past. And I think that's pretty underwhelming because I think there was something really unique they could have done with her character. At the end of the day, though, IF is a charming, sweet, emotional, heartwarming, fun family film. This movie really is just the equivalent of a cinematic hug, a movie that wants to remind you about childhood wonder and why you should hold on to the things that you value and have comforted you ever since you were young. And I think what this movie does really well is have a fun, you know, set of main characters with Kaylee Fleming, Ryan Reynolds, and Steve Carell's Blue, and a couple other people thrown in there that might have bigger roles than you're expecting. And it balances this kind of Pixar-like energy with, like, an early Amblin tone. But I do think the movie bites off a bit more than it can chew. Again, I wish the characters and story maybe had more imagination, like the title would imply it would. And I think John Krasinski, again, does try to throw in a few too many different, you know, random humor scenes or try to hit on one too many notes. But other than that, I do think IF is a family film that a lot of people are going to really enjoy if they weren't demotivated from going to see it by the very lackluster reviews that have come out this weekend. I'm going to give IF a B-. And this is a film that I think you should at least give a chance when it hits home media and rent. But I personally think if you're going to go with a family, I do recommend you see this in theaters. I think a lot of you guys are going to watch it, be surprised how much this movie tugs at your heartstrings, but at the same time, make you laugh or just make you smile. And I think it's important we go to movies that do that over stuff that, you know, definitely tests our knowledge and what we really think about the world or whatever going in. This movie wants to do nothing more but entertain you and, again, make you smile, and I think it does a really good job doing that. But I don't know if it's necessarily even a movie you need to go see in theaters. I do think you should absolutely give this one a rent when it hits home video and it hits, you know, streaming or digital media. I hope you don't wait until it hits Paramount Plus or whatever in a year. Check this movie out. Support movies like this. We want more original films, right? So go watch this movie, and whether that's waiting to buy it when it hits home video or going to see it in theaters, I recommend doing so. So thank you guys so much for listening for my review of If. I know this is a movie that not everyone's giving a positive review to, so if you're a bit on the fence about going to see it, again, I recommend you give it a shot. And I think you'd have to be pretty cynical to walk out not enjoying this. At least that was kind of my read, because I feel like at the end of the day, this movie, like I said, it's aimed for a younger audience. This is not a movie that is going to be up everyone's alley, but I do think it should at least endear everyone. I think everyone to it. And I feel like if you just want to go into a movie, come out of it feeling better, If is a movie that's absolutely going to do that. So thank you guys so much for listening, as always. I know this one went on a little longer than usual, but I had a few things I needed to get off my chest about the reactions to this movie and how people have been receiving it that I found very weird. But thank you guys so much for listening, as always. Make sure to let me know what you guys thought of If in the Q&A section on Spotify. And I will catch you all next week for the return of the Mad Max films. Thank you so much for listening. I will catch you all next time. Bye-bye.